This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Loving God, help us to pray. In our difficulty to find words, help us realize that you know our hearts and know our thoughts. Help us to surrender our will to your will. Help us to be more open to you and your love for us and the grace that transforms our lives. Lord, help us to pray this day and each day. In your name we pray. Amen. Good morning. When you get a group of clergymen together and the subject of weddings comes forth, you certainly can expect a great deal of humor as well as horror stories to be shared. There are the stories of the young flower girls who refuse to come down the aisle and throw a tantrum. Or the flower girl, once she's up front during the vows, suddenly cries out, "I need to go potty." Or the ring bearer who loses the rings before the bride and groom get to the altar. The bridesmaids that may faint or suddenly bend over and tear their dress. Or even the photographer who will get up on the pew and suddenly have it collapse, falling down on the wedding party and creating havoc of the wedding. Or the best man that will faint, or the groom himself out of nervousness who suddenly throws up. Lots of horror stories. Perhaps the one that is memorable for most of us you may have seen on YouTube or through the video series on the TV show, where the bridal party is receiving communion, and unfortunately when the priest serves the bride, he misses her mouth and the wafer falls into her bodice. And he decides he has to pursue that blessed body of Christ. Now I'll leave the rest to your imagination. Even though this is not a true story, I wish to have you imagine for one moment a wedding that may happen like this. The bride and groom, in everyone's eyes, have been seen to be the perfect couple. And everyone shares that this will be a very promising wedding and successful marriage. They say their vows at the altar before friends and family and the congregation. They kiss. And then suddenly the groom turns to the bride and shakes her hand and says, "If you need anything, or if I need anything, I will call you. Otherwise, I'll see you later." And he departs. Got the image in your head? As I said, it may not be true to a wedding, especially since we always expect that when a bride and groom come together, that they are sharing vows that are permanent, that they will be faithful unto death. But that image I describe today because I truly believe that what I have shared in that story describes our prayer relationship with God. You see, you and I often come to know our Lord and come to know the church and we fall in love. And then when the honeymoon is over, we only check in with God when it's convenient, especially when there is a crisis. Examine your own prayer life. And perhaps you discover that the only time that you are truly praying is when there is a problem, when you are ill. Perhaps praying because you know that you have that God-forbidden history test or science or math test ahead of you. Or perhaps a new job interview. Or a visit with the doctor, not knowing what may come of it. You see, otherwise, you and I tend to do it all on our own. We don't really need God. We don't really need this God who has promised to be faithful to us, to be with us, to always support and love us. Just as good communication is important to any relationship or marriage, so prayer is important to our lives in communion with our God. Jesus commanded us to pray. Jesus knew the importance of prayer in our lives, and that prayer is beneficial not only for our spiritual growth, but also for our well-being and also our physical health. And so when we pray, when we truly opened ourselves and take our lives and our concerns to God, we are saying, God, I depend on you. But when we choose not to pray, we are saying the opposite. I really don't need you. Or I just need you when it's convenient. A very sad situation. It is my hope that as a result of our sermon and our worship this day, that we begin to learn even more of the importance of prayer in our own spiritual development and life. You see, in today's gospel reading, Jesus is setting that kind of situation to teach the importance of prayer. We find that the disciples suddenly discover that Jesus has been off to prayer. And when he returns, because they noticed he was in prayer, they ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's rather interesting that in all of Scripture, in all of the Gospels, this is the only record, the only time that the disciples have asked Jesus for anything. Lord, teach us how to pray. Now, what is it that they are looking for? Are they looking for a prayer that they can easily remember and recite, just like the Jewish Shema, which is the prayer that a good Jew says often throughout the day? The prayer that begins, Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, and then you give your petition. A prayer that is said when you awake, a prayer that is said at noon, a prayer that is said when you go to bed, and other times through the day. Are they looking for a prayer that's easy to remember and recite? Or are they also looking for guiding principles to guide them and to teach them how to develop a prayer life? I believe that, first of all, Jesus is offering a set prayer. A prayer that you and I have come to know as the Lord's Prayer or as the Our Father. It becomes the basis for being able to do extemporaneous prayer, helping you and me to realize that in any situation, we can on the spot feel comfortable in our relationship to God and to be able to pray easily. It is also a prayer that teaches us to whom we are praying. Throughout this gospel text, there is the reference to a good parent. In prayer, God is that good and faithful parent. The parent that loves the child so much that not only does the parent want to protect that child and avoid harm in their lives, but wants to offer them and give them the best that they possibly can give. We all know what that is like. And that is the image that Jesus has set up with this prayer. And so the Lord's Prayer becomes a fundamental form or outline to teach us basic prayer. And we find that there are five parts to this prayer. It begins with praising God. Secondly, thanking God. Then confessing to God. Fourth, offering a petition, a concern. And then the fifth part, just like the first, we close by praising God again. A wonderful outline. But as you are now aware of that outline, think of your own prayer life. Do your prayers reflect those aspects, the elements of that outline, I guarantee you that the majority of us probably have a prayer that focuses on that fourth part. Our prayers are generally requests. We are consumed with, God, will you do this for me? Petitions for ourselves. We forget that important part of prayer is for us to recognize the greatness, the power, and the awesomeness of God, that we should always be offering thanksgiving. Secondly, offering thanksgiving for all those blessings that God continues day after day to shower upon you and upon me. And then thirdly, to tell God of our disobedience, of our waywardness, of our need to be called home and to be forgiven. This is why Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. And this is why the church has upheld this standard prayer for over 2,000 years. But brothers and sisters, this is not really what I want to focus on this morning. There is a part in this gospel reading that I think can enlighten us in many ways about the importance of prayer. The focus we read later in this gospel as it reads, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask, and it will be given to you. For whoever seeks, finds. And whoever knocks, the door is opened. And whoever asks, receives. Let us look at those three things: to seek, to knock, and to ask. Now, the word seek has become a very, very popular word in the church today. It is very prominent, especially in this past decade, as more and more people are aware of non-church persons seeking to know what the Christian church is about. A lot of worship planning is geared toward a seeker audience. In fact, this is one of the major things that Father Marty has been studying with his studies in church growth and development. What are seekers all about? And so we know that this world is rampant with people who are seekers. People all around us who are seeking fulfillment and looking for meaning and purpose in their own lives. And we especially know this to be something that young people wrestle with a great deal. In fact, young people will reflect upon their parents saying that they've come to realize that their parents' financial success did not truly provide meaning for them. And so they see that perhaps as a lost cause. Or that successful education doesn't always bring true fulfillment and purpose. They see that relationships have crashed and burned as divorce continues to grow. And then technology, popularity, physical beauty, the emphasis on youthfulness, all sooner or later hit the wall as we see that these are endless paths that go nowhere and do not provide the true meaning and purpose and joy that we look for in our own personal lives. And so it's no surprise that we find people this day and age who are seeking religion, seeking to find and understand this God that can address and help them in daily living. And so being aware of that dimension of human beings, Jesus, we find, first of all, making a promise in today's gospel reading. The promise to seeking is, you will find. You will find. Now, it may not be exactly the answer that you are looking for. When we seek God's guidance in prayer, we must be open to the fact that God's will is not always our will. And if prayer truly is meant to ask God to help us, then we need to open ourselves to God's will and put our will aside. Seeking God for answers in our lives. Is that not what prayer is about for many of us? So we need to put our will aside and seek. Next, Jesus says, knock, and the door will be opened. Again, another promise. And here God uses the image of that neighbor who comes in the middle of the night because there's an unexpected guest, and he must show good hospitality. So he comes to the neighbor, and there he is, clamoring and knocking at the door. The neighbor doesn't want to answer, but the persistence eventually has the neighbor responding. And so you see, Jesus is using this example as a way to say that we need to be persistent in our prayer. Thumbs up to bothering and pestering the Lord. That's what good prayer is about. Always, always keeping at God. All our prayers, however, do not need to involve this clamoring and knocking at the door of God. You see, a great deal of prayer also involves us being aware that it's important to also be in conversation, for us to sit there quietly and patiently, listening to what God has to say. You know, there's a interesting illustration that occurs to illustrate this point out of the life of Mother Teresa before she had died. She was interviewed by Dan Rather on one of the TV magazine shows. And Dan Rather wanted to ask her about her prayer life. And so he said, Mother Teresa, when you pray to God, what do you say? And she responded simply by saying, I listen. Taken back by that response, because that's not what he wanted to hear, he responds tongue-in-cheek by saying, okay, so then what does God say to you? And she responded with the simple words, I listen. I listen. And he listens to me. Sometimes, you see, prayer is not that knocking, persistent, urging at God's door. Sometimes it is simply listening to what God has to say to us. Because you see, with prayer, our circumstances eventually will begin to change. But more importantly, you may also discover that because of prayer, you will be changed. And that is indeed what God desires of you. To be transformed and to be opened to his love and his grace. Finally, Jesus says it's okay to ask. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it shall be given to you. Here Jesus illustrates the point again with the loving parent, a father whose child asks for a fish. Do you give a snake instead? Or because a scorpion, when it's curled up, looks like a little egg, the child asks for an egg and you give it the scorpion? To help understand what Jesus is saying here a little bit, let's turn that question around. What if the child asks for a scorpion? What if the child is asking the parent for something that you and I know will be harmful to that child, that will be dangerous for that child? Indeed, we will not oblige that child's wish, because out of our love and care and concern, we want what is best for the child. And so God also desires such for us. I think of a personal example from my own life as I was coming through high school preparing for college. I knew that I would not be able to afford 4 years of college, that my family could not help me financially. And so it was imperative that I find a school that not only had the degree program that I was looking for with my undergraduate work, but also that would be able to give me some financial assistance. I prayed to God, and indeed it all seemed to fall into place so beautifully. Before long, I was awarded a 4-year full scholarship to a college in my home state of Massachusetts. Indeed, what more could I ask for as God was blessing me and answering my prayer? But the amazing thing is that within 3 months, it all changed. I ended up instead going to Arizona State University on a partial scholarship. Because you see, it was God's will for my life, because of my asthma and my health problems with allergies, to go to a climate that was warmer and drier. Within a very short period of time, I was off all medication, had restored health, and within 2 years, full scholarship for the remainder of my career. You see, God knew. God answered my prayers in ways beyond my expectation. The power of prayer is incredible. Ask, and it will be given. There's a story that is a very brief story from one of the popular books that have been circulating on prayer that talks about a man who dies and goes to heaven. And as he passes through the pearly gates, he approaches St. Peter, and St. Peter drags him off to a warehouse and opens up the door and shows this man all of these blessings that have been in storage in this warehouse. And the man asks God, "I don't understand. What is this all about?" And God simply says, "These are all the blessings that you never asked for." Now, I'm not sure that it is in God's nature to hold back blessings from us. But I do believe in this, that God wants us to ask, to be persistent, to be clamoring at that door, because He will answer. And so, what is it, in conclusion, that God is teaching us, that our Lord is teaching us and His disciples, as we hear in this gospel reading today? What about prayer is so important? First, prayer is seeking and knowing that you and I are found, that God has claimed us as His very own child and will continue faithfully, lovingly, be with us and provide that which we need. Secondly, Jesus is helping us to realize the importance of knocking and knowing that God's promises will always be there. Like a bride and a groom exchanging vows, that love is meant to be there always. And God's love will always be with us. Third, asking and trusting that God does have in store for you and me the best that we could ever ask for. Indeed, prayer is about a daily communication, being intimately with our God and ready to be loved forever. Amen.